together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Well, today we're going to talk about another word that most people do not associate with marriage. When you think about marriage, you think about not just life, but even more life, better life, enhanced life. All true, if you also are willing to consider and embrace dying to self. And you're like, what? Well, we're going to talk about it today. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney. And guess what? You're going to love it. You're going to be so glad you tuned into the show. Vicky Digney is back.
Thrive family. So glad that I got an invitation back.
And it wasn't that she didn't have an invitation. She's always got an invitation, and here she is. But what we've been doing, notice as we've been moving through the shows, I'm sure you've heard things that you thought, yep, I thought that. The world talks about that. I see that. There are some things that we absolutely know that get affirmed over and over in our world. But what takes your marriage from barely alive to thrive is when you begin to discover what we do not naturally know that the world doesn't show us and affirm. So we keep bumping up words next to marriage that you would not naturally think of. And dying to self is one of those. Because here's what you got to understand. Unless a death to self takes place, the real life of marriage cannot even begin. So some of you might not realize it. Like, what is wrong? What is wrong? What is wrong? What is holding us back? What is keeping us so stuck? It just might be what's holding you back in your marriage is holding on to your life. So afraid to die. But that's when marriage begins to thrive and we become more like Christ. And I know it's foreign to human beings and our world's thinking.
Very foreign.
Oh, but it's what you hear Jesus talking about. In John chapter 12, when he says in verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You realize you can be in a marriage. People think, oh, I want to get married so I will never feel alone, that I'll have friendship and companionship. You can be in a marriage and feel absolutely alone. And it's because sometimes one or both have not died. Any thoughts on this, Vicky? I know what's bubbling up in my mind as we headed into it. I know I was holding on to my life desperately.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah, I think, like you said, this thought of dying to self, it's so foreign in our culture. And I think that it's something that we really have to, I think we pit dying to self versus I'm going to have a wonderful life, like life my way, the way I want it. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't necessarily say this, but sometimes I think we would equate dying to self to thoughts like, life will never be my way. I'm going to be miserable if I choose this die to self. I like myself. Why die? I'm pretty good. In fact, I've worked, you know, mm-hmm. a long time to get to where I am. Or I think also we just think dying to self is going to squelch who I am as a person. It's going to squelch Vicky Digney. So I think we have to kind of change our perspective and look at it from a different viewpoint from that.
Yeah, because I hope our listeners don't hear what we're not saying. When we're talking about dying to self, it's not like one or both of you has to completely, that's the end of you.
Right.
It's a
your hobbies, your interests, who you are, your personality.
It's a dying to self that leads to a greater enhanced you than ever before.
Right.
But it's at like a Jesus version of you. It's still you, uh-huh. and it's actually better. But it's on the other side of dying to self, which we would never think.
Right. And I think that's just what, it just chafes against my flesh to even say that. Who wants to think, I want to die to self? It just seems like you're the loser.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be, there's not going to be a gain. But I think we have to see biblically, once again, there's so many things like this in Scripture. It's actually a gain, even though in our flesh we say, it's a loss for me when I die to self. Yeah. So I think today, as we talk about that, I think we can bring out some implications of dying to self and how it actually is a gain.
Mm-hmm. It's not a loss. It's a gain for the kingdom. It's a gain with an enhanced version of you. And it certainly pleases the Lord. And you begin to function. And believe it or not, you think, oh, I guess there'll be a dying to self and I'll be miserable, but it'll be good for the people around me. And that's just not true.
Right.
There's a joy. There's a peace. You, in a sense, you begin to thrive.
Because
you got to think about how many times Jesus talked about deny self, die to self, take up your cross. And it wasn't that he's some killjoy that wants to see you miserable. It's in this dying to self, because what we're really dying to is that selfish, sinful version that looks out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to thrive, but that's how a marriage likewise begins to thrive. But oh, this is foreign to our culture. And sadly, it is foreign to most of the best-selling books and authors that are out there, even sometimes so-called Christian authors. These are the books that hit the press and then land on the New York Times best-selling list. In the past, 3 to 5 years, they're always rolling out, but there's been some big ones again. You think about what some of these books say in comparison to what Jesus said in John 12. Rachel Hollis, in her book, Girl, Wash Your Face, that has sold over 1 million copies now, she says this, quote, "You are meant to be the hero of your own story."
Mm.
Now, imagine living with someone like that, that wakes up thinking, I am supposed to live to be the hero of my, I've got my own
it's
story.
It's about me.
Yeah, and not fun to live with. Now, here's what I think is interesting. Usually watch these thoughts play out. Her first book was a bestseller. She continued down that path, rallied a huge following, wrote a second book, and ended up divorced.
Mm.
Now, I don't know the details, but I can't help but think when you have someone who is beginning to say more and more, wait a minute, I'm supposed to live for me. I'm supposed to live for me. I'm not supposed to think about my kids, my husband, anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
She's now divorced. There's other best-selling books. Glennon Doyle, her book Untamed just blew up in 2020. And she says this, quote, "We do not need more selfless women. What we need right now is more women who have detoxed themselves." Now, I want to be careful here. I hope you don't hear us saying, oh, we need women to die to self. Because sometimes people make a mistake. Just because the Bible talks about women submit to your husbands in respect, that is not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about men, husbands. So you hear me if you're a guy listening.
Yes.
We're talking about equal dying to self.
Mm-hmm.
Not one or the other dies more than the other. I'm just reading you some quotes because these were best-selling books from women. "We do not need more selfless women. What we need right now is more women who have detoxed themselves so completely from the world's expectations that they're full of nothing but themselves."
Mm.
I think people don't realize, and often it's you don't know your Bible well enough for an alarm bell to go off and say, ding, 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 ding. That is not right. What we need are women who are full of themselves. A woman who's full of herself knows and trusts herself enough to say and do what must be done. She lets the rest burn.
Mm.
Well, guess what, folks? The Bible actually says you do not know yourself well enough.
True.
In fact, self would lead you down a very wrong path. When you read the Bible, often it's upside down from what you would have thought, backwards from what you would have thought, opposite of what you would have thought. Rachel Hollis, again, in Girl, Wash Your Face, says you should be the very first of your priorities. That doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't sound like the Bible. When he says, "I did not come to be served, but I came to serve."
And if you're living in a home where the husband is his number one priority, the wife is making herself the number one priority, each, you know, kid is making their life the number one priority. Wow, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Lots of conflict.
And one more from Glennon Doyle again in Untamed. She says, "I'll abandon everyone else's expectations of me before I'll abandon myself. I'll disappoint everyone else before I'll disappoint myself. I'll forsake all others before I'll forsake myself. Me and myself, we are till death do us part."
Huh.
Well, guess what? She ended up leaving her husband and marrying a woman. And she's gone on to just write things all about just you be you, you do you. If you feel it, if you think it, do it. Stop holding back.
And this kind of, it just almost has no thought of how does this affect the people around me? my spouse, my children, my parents. You know, it's just all, it's all about you. It's a very small world.
Right. And let's be honest, as you hear some of these quotes, if you find them resonating with you, that's because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we're like, well, that just feels right. That sounds, yes, that's right, girl. Yes. Or
I mean, that does sound better. It kind of resonates more in my flesh than God is calling me to die to self. Yes. Like,
you know,
downer.
So if you're basing right and wrong or theology or how to thrive on what feels right, what sounds right, what resonates with you, you are not likely to end up in a good place.
True.
Because so much of what resonates with us resonates with our sinful, fleshly, selfish sin nature. But again, don't hear what we're not saying. Oh, wow, pleasing God and having a great marriage is that you need to be miserable. We are not. Are we miserable, Vicki?
No, we have a great time together.
I remember the day I literally was, I could feel myself gripping, still holding on. And I said, Lord, I'm going to please you and I'm going to let go of my life. And it was a terrifying moment. Mm-hmm. And what it has led to is Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly beyond.
Much fruit.
All that I can imagine. Well, we're talking about something kind of radical again. We're bumping up a word you wouldn't bump next to marriage, dying to self. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about it some more because guess what? The Bible talks about it a lot.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. Everything in you wants to push back, doesn't it? Die to self? Look, that's not the dream the world's pumped into me my whole life. No, it's me, 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 me. That's what I want. My marriage is about me. I think that's probably the reason so many homes feel tense and distant. We're still trying to protect our version of what life is supposed to be, the version that we grew up listening to. That's why Thrive exists. That's why what Brad and Vicki are doing here is absolutely essential if you want a thriving marriage. We're not here handing out 5 easy tricks and fixes for your marriage. This is real biblical surrender, real growth. It is absolutely beneficial and essential, not only to my marriage, but thousands of people around the world who are emailing in weekly talking about just how much Thrive is helping their marriage. And I really hope you're sharing Thrive with married couples in your church. Because if this is what you're after, let me also point you to Fortis Plus. Every day, we're loading 7 pieces of new biblical content, podcasts and hot takes and wisdom on marriage and parenting, theology, how to walk in biblical manhood and also womanhood. This is just real truth. And here's the deal. It's completely free. You're not going to run into a paywall. You're not going to be asked for a subscription or some kind of sneaky upgrade that comes in from the back end. You're not going to find that with us. All you have to do is sign up and register, and then you have access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content that's added to daily, absolutely free of charge. Just search for Fortis Plus where you download your apps, or you can go to fortisplus.org. Now, if what Brad and Vicki are doing has helped you think differently about your role as a husband or a wife or as a parent, can I ask you to consider joining us? And we don't run ads around here. We run on gospel partners, people just like you who understand and are in complete alignment with our mission. But hear me, first and foremost, make sure that you're giving to your local church. Don't give to us if you're not giving to your local church. That's where you've got to be faithful first. And if you are giving to your local church and you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, then we would be honored to lock arms with you. But make sure your local church comes first. You can find out more about what it would look like to become a gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back now to Pastor Brad and Ms. Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're back and we've bumped up a word that you might not have put next to marriage if you'd played a word association game with a group of friends on a Friday night. I say marriage, you say love. I say marriage, you say romance. I say marriage, you say companionship, friendship, children, life partner. I don't know that anyone in the crowd would have screamed out, dying to self.
Mm.
You think so, Vicki?
No, never.
I know I was not thinking about that. But it is what, it's not the only thing, because
no.
We've talked a lot about other things, but Would you not agree it's a huge part of what took us from stuck
right.
to a place you and I never thought possible for the two of us? I thought we were so different, so yes. incompatible. And so what did it look like for you, Vicky, to go from deep disappointment? I know you were just deeply disappointed.
Right.
I was too. To beginning to get a hold of and allow some dying to self. How did that begin to change our marriage? And what are your thoughts?
Well, I think first of all, just to realize my way wasn't working, you know, what I want, my rights, that wasn't working. We were both miserable. And I think you were doing the same thing. So I think once again, it just seems so counterproductive to our thoughts, to our culture. But I really did want to know, what does God say? And when we were in biblical counseling, just realizing God's asking things of me that I've never done before. And it was painful. I mean, even the word death to self, that's a dying. But I think once I understood it from a new perspective, it really helped me to see this dying is actually a gain.
And you just said something that I want our listeners to think about, that I saw in you, even in our misery, and as much as we were both just white knuckling our own lives, I saw this in you, and I believe it was in me. We both wanted to know, what does
yes.
God say? So if you're stuck and you're thinking, what? If you don't care what God says and you don't care what the Bible says and all you want is a quick fix for your marriage, there's probably not much hope for you.
Right.
We both brought into this mess at least, oh my goodness, what does God say about this? What are we? And when we heard it, I was quite shocked when this piece of it was coming at me in counseling, the thought of dying to self. I pushed back initially, but I did have a commitment to, all right, well, if God says this, I'm going to trust him that on the other side of this.
Right.
So I appreciate you saying that. I think if you're wondering, how did Brad and Vicky get unstuck and how did they both move forward? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just see nobody moves forward. Sometimes one spouse moves forward. But when both move forward, I want to tell you, it usually has to do with both have this desire. Mm-hmm. If God says it, I want to do it, even if it's not what I think or feel.
And I think even as you're saying that, I think it goes back to even further that, you know, we have to remember our Creator made us. He's our Creator. He made our heart. He made our mind. He made our emotions. So we're created in His image. So more than anything, He's the one that's going to know best how we are designed to work and function and live and play and do marriage. So I think also just going back to the fact that He's our Creator. He has this good design.
That's
but because of the fall, we've gotten so far away from that and we've gone way off into our own way. And it's just a big mess.
And so, in a sense, believing that marriage was a gift from God.
Right. He knows best how
and
it
so
works.
He knows, so it's kind of like Vicky has touched on it in past shows. You must, never mind your marriage, the starting point for a better marriage is what you think about God.
Right, your
you
theology about
Him. You must believe that He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
And He's wise.
And He's
wise. And He's loving.
And He gave us marriage. And so even though it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
His desire is not to make you miserable. He's literally looking down right now as a good father, longing for some of you to have so much better than what you have. He's good.
And you mentioned a good word. You called Him our good father. And I think that's, I know we didn't all have good fathers. I had a good father. You had a good father. But many of our listeners, my close friends, didn't have that experience. Mm-hmm. So I think that we just have to go back to that He's good. He's loving. And I think Satan in our own flesh would want to think the exact opposite.
That's
like, this is hard. He's just in it to be a killjoy. And I mean, it's really sad how even as a believer, so much of my flesh, those thoughts still come to my mind. You know, when we're going through a hard thing with one of our kids or something, it's just like, is God's holding out?
That's right.
Everyone else has this type of life or whatever. It's just a lie from Satan. And I think our flesh so quickly just wants to believe that. And once again, we keep hitting this. That's why you have to be in God's word, renewing our mind, renewing our thoughts, being around other believers that are also growing and changing and speaking truth into our lives.
Because
so.
Despite the fact that technology and so many things have changed since Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, there are so many things that have not changed at all.
Right.
The lies of our enemy are still the same ones he brought to them. Did God really say?
Right.
I assume a lot of you that are listening, either you're in church or you grew up in church, you have some kind of Christian
or
background.
Or even you're new. Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have chosen to listen to Thrive.
Right.
Some of you may be completely unchurched, but it's kind of encouraging to know there aren't dozens of brand new complex problems we're facing.
True.
A lot of it is the same lie. Did God really say that about marriage? It doesn't seem to resonate with what I would think. And then think about what he finally said to them. You will not surely die.
Right.
And when we
and even just content, you know, he said, you can eat of any tree of the Garden of Eden, but not this one. Well, that's the one I want.
And you think about that verse in Proverbs says, there's a way which seems right to a man or woman, but the end is the way of death.
Right. Something we do have to just go back to first. Are we going to trust the truth and the veracity of God's word? Or are we just going to keep believing our world and our own flesh?
Yeah.
So I think that we have to just really get that settled in our mind. But I think secondly, after once we can see that path clearly, I think this was just helpful for me to get a new perspective on dying to self. Because what we're really talking about here is sanctification. If that's a new word to you, sanctification is basically once we come to know Christ. Justification is when we get saved, we know Christ. Sanctification is a gradual process of we're becoming more and more like Christ. Mm. And part of that is parts of me that aren't beneficial to looking like Jesus, he's going to gradually sand away. Mm-hmm. He may use a chainsaw. He may use pruning shears. You know, I think both of us
Most of us would prefer the light sanding with the fine grade sandpaper.
Little tiny Fisker clippers.
Yeah.
So I think that helped me that just to realize that Jesus is in the process of making us more like him. But I think we have to have that perspective of this is actually a gain for us. This isn't a loss.
Yeah.
When we can have that.
Yeah. And it makes me think, as you keep using that word gain, I think it was the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21.
Yes. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, what? That makes no sense to me. Dying is gain.
Yeah.
But that's obviously Christ's perspective, as you read earlier. And then now Philippians 1:21, it's Paul's perspective. And I think it has to become our perspective. And I think of that show, like I'm sure you've watched it. It's kind of fascinating, kind of disgusting, but that show Hoarders, where people, you know, you go into a home and there's not even a path. There's no plumbing. Their sink's not working. Their electric's not working. There's just boxes of pizza. There's broken deer antlers. There's rat feces. Mm. In our perspective, we're just like, who could live like this? But then as you talk to these people, and a lot of times they've had trauma or different things in their life. There's reasons perhaps, but you know, when the people come in and try to help them, and it's usually, you know, their children or their relatives, and like, grandma, if you get your house clean, then, you know, little Johnny can come visit you. But, and she wants that, but if they sit her in a lawn chair in the yard and they start, she's like, I've got to see it all. I've got to touch it all. You know, even the pizza boxes, the used pizza boxes, I've got to make sure, like before we throw it in the dumpster, and they have all these dumpsters, you know, so in our minds, we're thinking this is a gain for her to get rid of all this junk, the broken deer antler that she's going to use for a craft and the pizza boxes and, you know, all these old cartons of, you know, milk, all these things she's kept. And in our mind, we have perspective and think this shows she, her life is going to be so much more freer if she gets rid of this.
She sees it as a loss.
Right. She sees it as a loss. I think in this scenario, I would say, you know, God is the people coming, trying to help us rearrange our life. And we're the hoarders. We're so trying to hold on to all of our sin and what we want and what we think is best for us. So I think
that's— Because we're comfortable in it.
Oh, sure.
She's comfortable in that. It's what she knows.
Yes.
And we're often— that's a good illustration, honey, that God is good and he's knocking on the door and he's wanting to haul out stuff that we're clinging to.
Right.
That we think is giving us life and really makes us who we are.
Right.
And he's not against us. He's for us.
Exactly.
There's a better version of us.
Yes.
And he actually wants you to experience a richer life.
So I kind of like that. As we think of this dying to self, you know, it's a new perspective. I'm not— yes, you are dying to self, but I think put a better spin on it that we're not just dying to ourselves. We're choosing to get rid of things in our life that are not Christ-like, our wrong attitudes, our, you know, violent tempers, or whatever we're working on, and letting God actually start pruning those away to make us a better version. And once again, I have to keep stressing, you're not going to lose your personality. You're going to have to change all your
that's
hobbies.
That's not what we're talking about.
I think you're not diminished.
I think I said it in a previous show, but especially I want guys to hear this. What we're talking about, both of you should be doing it. And when someone runs into your wife 10 years after you married her and they knew her in high school, they shouldn't think, oh my word, she's squelched. Mm-hmm. She's not. She's half of who she used to be.
Right.
She just doesn't. They ought to think, wow, she's blossomed. They recognize her. It reminds them of who she was. It's actually a better version of her. So we're not talking about anybody being squelched by the other.
Right.
We're talking about each being enhanced by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, you've been listening to Thrive, and we're trying to give you help, some of the same help that God gave us to how do you get unstuck and how do you begin to experience the kind of marriage you thought you were going to have, that you really wanted, that you expected, that gets talked about, but it didn't happen. Consider letting go of your life. Jesus said, who holds on to it loses it, and he who loses it finds it again. You just might find the marriage you've been looking for when you let go of holding on to your life.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.